I am going to share with you this morning from the message that I was given the opportunity to preach at Jesus Camp. Our theme this year was This Kind of Love. We find ourselves in chapter 13, which is very well known as the love chapter. And in this chapter, we get a description of what love is. This kind of love. Our theme this year, this kind of love. We were talking about the love that God describes and love that God has given us. The love that we've sang about this morning already, that we hold to, that we rely upon. The church of Corinth was struggling. The church of Corinth was in a difficult place that they had begun to take the spiritual gifts that God had given them and begin to use it in a competitive manner. They would say that, well, I've got this gift, so I'm better than you, and my gift is better than your gift. And God never designed and intended for it to be that way. They come together for the Lord's Supper and something that was to be a loving gathering together, that they would support one another. They were dividing themselves between the rich and the poor and those the haves and have-nots. And there was division in the church body. And what a terrible thing that the Lord's Supper was supposed to bring unity as a body of Christ under His guidance and leadership, and they become divided. They even, if you remember, that they would even brag that, well, I was baptized by Apollos. Well, I was baptized by Paul. Da, 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 da. You know, they were just constantly at each other. In fact, it got so bad that we even see that he has to address that if you've got a believer and you come to a disagreement, do not take each other to court. Why would you go to court and let a worldly entity decide what you should be able to discern in and of yourself within the church? Boy, they were divided in terrible ways. And so the love chapter, I believe, comes to that, first of all, he says, well, what is the greatest gift? Well, we find out that love is that greatest gift. There's a lot of sighing gifts that were still going on in the New Testament church at this time that after the completion of scriptures were not needed anymore because we have the authoritative Word of God Himself, so that we don't need those sighing gifts because God has spoken now and we have that in the scriptures today. But he said that one thing that will continue and the greatest of all of those, faith, hope, and love. Love being the greatest of all of them. It will continue. Why? Because it is the most necessary that we love one another and we serve in love to the Savior. So, I want us to just start. I'm going to read in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word. We ask your spirit to move and guide us in the preaching of your word, in the receiving and the applying of your word. Give us courage today. Give us courage to move forward, not just begrudgingly, but in the true love that you have shown to us. Teach us to love you as you have loved us so perfectly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look here in chapter 13, we're talking about love. Some of you, the King James, will use the word charity. The Greek word that is used for love is agape. Much of the time that we use a word in English is eros. It usually refers to the sexual type of love and probably is the most shallow, if you will. But agape, as we see here in the scriptures, this is a love that refers to based upon a deliberate choice of the one who is loving, not based upon the worthiness of the one that is being loved. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that God didn't love you based upon what you're worthy of? Ooh, my, I'd be in trouble. I'm sure none of you would, but I would be in trouble. This kind of love is a selfless, expecting nothing in return kind of love. You know, love is at its greatest when it's given away, amen? You know, we can't really hoard love, can you? Even in a marriage, you ever notice that? It has to be given, doesn't it, for it to exist? You say, well, I told you 25 years ago I loved you. Isn't that enough? No. No, thank you. No, it's not enough. Because love is to be expressed continually, isn't it? Well, I don't love so-and-so because they're just not loving me. That's not the definition of love, amen? You don't love them because they deserve it. It is a decision we make within ourselves. That is God's love, this kind of love. I want you to look. Without love, there really is no purpose in ministry. Think about this. Chapter 13, verse 1. I'm kind of going backwards on you, I know. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now, I don't know about you, but this individual sounds quite gifted, don't they? Man, they know everything. They know all the mysteries. They have faith that can, they're moving mountains around. But what does he say? But have not love. I am what? What? How did you go from being the most admired one in church to being absolutely nothing? Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Is it possible to achieve so much and fail so miserably? Yes. You ever run into situations that you're dealing with your kids and they've just got on your last nerve about 2 hours ago, and you go to correct them, and you correct them based upon that raw nerve, and you find out that you didn't do it in love? Have you ever been there? Yeah, I have. And I realize that those lessons were not learned, but they remember the hurt. Are you with me? Yeah. Sometimes out of anger, we can say the most damaging things, the most painful things, the most destructive things. But yet, if we do so in love, folks, my goal for this message is I want you to take this kind of love, and I want this kind of love to regulate your reactions, your responses, and your relationships so that everything that you say, do, or act upon will be done through this lens of love. Amen? This selfless, expecting nothing back, free will to love, not based upon what they deserve, agape love. Amen? All that we do, all that we say, how that we act, in service to one another, in service to the Lord, as we exercise our gifts. You know, we watched the praise team exercising their gift. We exercised our gifts of intercessory prayer here in the altar this morning. All these things that we do, if we do it because I have to, we do it because my pastor told me I had to get down there and do it, then it's no value, amen? But if we choose to love one another, we choose to love the Lord, now ministry has purpose. Now ministry begins to grow. Now ministry begins to have impact. So what kind of love is this? First of all, in verse 4, he tells us that love suffers long and is kind. What is love? I want to touch on kind first. Love is kind. Kind simply means it's mild and benevolent. It's of a calm and gentle spirit, willing to give and willing to help. You know, this was one of the most distinguishing factors of the Lord Jesus himself, is that when he came in love. He came humbly, approachable, that he welcomed any and all to come. It didn't matter your age. It didn't matter your health. It didn't matter your education. It didn't matter if you're a soldier. It didn't matter if you're a peacemaker. It didn't matter who you were. Jesus welcomed and was kind to any and all that he ever met. And this was in stark contrast to the Pharisees and the religious, the Sadducees. They came arrogantly. They came proudly. They came very unkindly, right? They were pushing the people down. They were critical of the people. But yet, Jesus came lovingly, and it drew people to him from all corners of the earth. Do we have that same drawing power? You know, Lindsay Lane has always been described as being one of the most loving churches. And I praise the Lord for that. The kindness that we're willing to show sometimes takes us a little farther down the road than we wanted to go. Have you ever noticed that? You find somebody needs help and you're thinking, all right, we can help them here in about 20 minutes. And you find out 2 weeks later, you're still trying to help. You with me? Life's messy, isn't it? So love suffers long. Love suffers long. It's patient, long enduring. Much the same way a mother stays up all night with a sick child and cares for them with compassion. We were at camp this year, and we had our kids, and I was blessed to have Zachary, and we had a good time. But there was one kid in our dorm, you know, because at the end of the day, everybody's exhausted, and you want to go to sleep. And we had this one kid. He was a bundle of energy. I don't know how he kept from blowing a seal. He was under so much pressure and buzzing around. And then of course, you know, at camp, we have the canteen. And so kids can go up there and they get very nutritious snacks. They get chocolate and candy. And they come back with three or four Mountain Dews in their arms. And it's like, I told him, I said, oh, I am so glad you got some Mountain Dew. I was afraid you're going to fall asleep and be boring. Man, he downed a few of those, and I'm not so sure that was a really good idea for his heart. He was buzzing like a wild man. And I thought this, I got onto him a few times, and I'm like, I said his name, and I said, you and me, we're going to be best friends by the end of camp. Because I was dorm captain, you know. I always get that illustrious job. But, you know, I finally found some time to kind of get around to him, and, you know, in between erratic moments, begin to talk to him. Incredibly intelligent kid for his age. He blew me away. It was surprising. You know why he's so energetic? He's bored. He really was. He was brilliant. And he knew a lot about the Bible. And I was very impressed with him. But man, was he irritating. He was so annoying. My goodness. 100 mile an hour. 6:30 in the morning, I get up, try to get up before everybody else and do my study. And I hit the shower and I come out and he's like, hey, can we all get up now? Dude, it's 6:30 in the morning. Calm down. He's like, well, I'm already up. And everybody else was asleep. The lights are off. And he's talking at the top of his lungs. And I'm just like, oh, man, you're great. You're great. Everybody was up by about 6:45 because he was up. They weren't happy, but they were up. Sometimes love has to suffer a long time sometimes, doesn't it? But you know what? I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised that kid becomes one of our preachers that are going to be preaching at camp. He was so funny. He'd run up to Brother Brad and he says, I've got something on my heart. I need that microphone. And we're like, no, you're not getting that microphone. He wanted to talk so bad. I'm telling you, he's going to be one of our next preachers. I'm telling you, you can see it. The writing's on the wall. Aren't you glad that God suffers with us? You know, I laugh at him because I was one of those kids. I was hyper. I really was buzzing around, energetic, up at the crack of dawn, and everybody else is exhausted. I'm ready to go play. Everybody's going, sit down and be quiet. We're trying to sleep. Come on, let's go play. I can relate, you know. I was annoying. Yeah, it might be a little annoying still yet today for some. You can admit that. I can take it. I'll just cry when I get home. John chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Why does he go all the way back to the Old Testament? Talking about the serpent, you remember in Numbers chapter 20? They were grumbling and griping against Moses, and then they began to grumble and gripe against God, and his judgment came upon them, and they're dying right and left and being bitten, and they come to Moses. Moses, we messed up. We've sinned against you and against God. Help us. He says, okay, he goes to the Lord. He says, Lord, they're repenting. They know their mistake. How can we help them? He says, you make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and you lift it up. Looks a lot like our medical symbols today in the medical field. And he holds it up, and whoever looked at that brazen serpent on a pole, they were healed. They didn't die. And you think, well, man, that's just kind of a weird symbolism here, isn't it? Well, we find out here in John says, hey, this is Christ. He's going to be lifted up, not on a pole, but on a cross, right? And as he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. Why? Because he's long-suffering. He's been dealing with Israel since the Old Testament. Thousands of years he's been dealing with Israel and still offering himself, offering his love, not for his benefit, but for ours. Amen? When we look at what love is not, it really nails it down for us, doesn't it? It tells us what it is not. I'm just going to go through quickly. Love does not envy. It's not jealous. It allows others to have a good day even when you're not having a good day. Amen? Oh, that's sometimes kind of hard to do, isn't it? But you know, there's glory in saying, hallelujah, somebody's having a good day. It's just not me. Amen? But maybe tomorrow. Yeah. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to be envious. We don't have to be envious that some have it better than we do, but glory be to God that they're being blessed. Love does not parade itself. It's a braggart. Embellishments of yourself excessively. Oh, we always run into those, don't we? Sometimes true love is going to attempt to make others stand in the limelight, right? They put others forward instead of themselves. Love is not puffed up, proud. Oh, this is some of the funniest thing. Watching teenagers. Oh my goodness, they want to impress so bad. They want to look big and tough in front of all the girls. And you know what's funny? Is that's really actually irritating to the girls. They really don't like that. But the guys are just convinced, oh yeah, they're going to notice me. So they puff themselves up, try to be as big as they can. Do we do that in the Lord's work sometimes? Make ourselves a little more important than we really are? That's probably one of the most valuable lessons as a pastor is that we learn the church will go on just fine without us. The church will do just fine because we're just as weak as they are, and we're right along, growing right along with them, amen? But we can't do without Christ. Love does not behave rudely, does not act inappropriately. Love has good manners, shows good manners, and it does not belittle others. Here's another thought. Love chooses the appropriate actions and responses that help others and not hurt others, right? And I'll refer again. We can destroy so much with words. There are insults that I have received when I was a kid, and they still hurt today. Can you relate? And yet, for some reason, we say, oh, you need to toughen up. You need to get a backbone. Yeah, well, that's true. But it doesn't mean you need to beat me with a baseball bat verbally, right? This kind of love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. Love is selfless. Love is not provoked. It's not easily provoked. Love controls the emotions. That'd be so handy today, wouldn't it? Too often we allow emotions to run what we are instead of agape love pattern what we are. Okay? Love thinks no evil. Now, at first glance, you may think that, well, thinking evil, he's not thinking bad things, he's not thinking evil things. But in reality, what this means is that it does not keep a record of wrongdoings. It does not pay attention to the suffering of wrongdoing that has been done to it. True love does not look for revenge or hold a grudge. It's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Some people may think that, well, if you're going to show love, then you're going to be weak. Would you call Jesus weak? He controlled everything that happened. He was not drugged to the cross, but he went to the cross. And that was after being beaten with 40 lashes, which would kill most men. I mean, I love you, but I don't think I could endure that for you. He went to the cross. He gave himself. And then while hanging on the cross, while dying on the cross, everything he said was for our favor. Is that weakness? He controlled his tongue while the thieves were cussing and cursing. Until the one finally realized that this is the Savior and made it right. Jesus controlled all of that. And in spite of all the unfair judgment, the unfair trial, the unfair abandonment of all of the disciples, left alone, would have been real easy to carry a grudge, wouldn't you agree, in our humanness? But yet he was willing to suffer long. Are we doing that with those around us? Are we taking wrongs and taking abuse, but yet still return love in spite of it all? The goal is not to be weak, but to be weak, I'm sorry. The goal is rather to have a spirit of reconciliation, to forgive those who seek forgiveness, letting the past stay in the past. Not always the easiest, but the most beneficial, isn't it? This is what Jesus did for us. If Jesus was willing to forgive, shouldn't you and I be willing to forgive? Yes, amen. So here's my last point. Am I loving and am I being loved? Am I loving? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know what, folks? The love that we are being called to here in Corinthians chapter 13 is not within our power. It is not within our strength. It is not within our reach. Sometimes we think that, well, if I could be a better person, I'll love. No, if you're a spirit-filled person, you will love. Amen? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you will love. I'm going to be so bold and to go out on Scripture here and suggest those who do not know the Lord Jesus and have not accepted the forgiveness of God do not know love. They do not know how to love. Now, the world will recoil at that, but that's exactly what the Scripture tells us. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not what? Know God. So how do we describe love? There's all kinds of loves that we see in the Greek. They had, I think it was three or four different variations, where in our English we have one. But not always is what is being called love the biblical love. Amen? It's not the biblical love. So now we're setting distinctions on what kind of love we're talking about. We're talking a selfless, God-guided love is what we're talking about. And many times we will be told that we are being loved when in reality we're being manipulated and abused. Are you with me? The idea, the world's idea is often is I'm going to love you as long as I get what I want. Seems like that's running rampant in our marriages today, isn't it? We make a commitment, but yet one or the other or both refuse to give what only they can give is love to that relationship. But as a child of God, we seek the depths of that love as we understand the love that God has given us. And then others will try to compare and say that, well, I'm loving just like God. And by the definitions that we have just gone through, we find that they are not loving as God loves. Amen? So church, we must examine ourselves. Am I loving? Now, we're going to get into this later in another message. Many want to define love as just simply agreeing with everything around you. Being compliant. Just agreeing with anything that anyone else will do. But I challenge you to show me one place where Jesus allowed sin to continue, allowed sin not to be rebuked, and allowed sin to continue without him speaking against it. And yet, he is and continues to be the epitome, the definition of love. So many will say, well, you don't love me. My friend, we can stand on truth and love like no one else can. Amen? If you are driven by God's love, you need to know what true love is so that it will regulate your reactions, your responses, and your relationships. Knowing what true love is will lead us to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? When we really understand what true love is, we're not looking for God to love me and let me into heaven and ignore all that I did. Amen? We recognize that his love was that he took our sin, didn't hide our sin, but put all of his sin upon his son while he hung on the cross and suffered for it and died because of it and then rose from the grave to be our Savior. That's love. It suffers long. It suffers fully until the job is done. Amen? Yes, that's love. Knowing what true love is will help you defend yourself from the lies and manipulation of this world and the deceptive attitudes that use love as a cover for hate and anger. You know what, folks? So often in our world today, they ask us to support these things financially. Support this, support this. And then sometimes they even try to use avenues of guilting us. Well, if you don't support this, then what kind of person are you, right? As a pastor, a lot of times people will accuse us and saying that, well, you just want me to come to your church so that I'll give money so that you'll have a salary. That is so far from the truth. The Lord has provided for my family in some of the most unexpected ways. There's many of you sitting here today that has blessed our family with things that we needed that it couldn't have come from anywhere else and we couldn't have gotten it any other way but how God used you. There's many things that God does in the Lord's church that we don't have to guilt you into doing anything, but you simply respond out of love to support what is true, what is just, and what is right, and you follow the Lord's promptings and you give out of love. And you're going to find people giving above and beyond anything that you would ever expect, which we have seen over the last 5 years from those at Lindsay Lane. But here's my challenge to many of those things that are on the outside. They try to manipulate and say, well, if you don't support this and you don't stand for this, then what kind of person are you? Then I challenge them, much the same way the church has done for 2,000 years or so. If you believe in it, you support it, not me. And let's see if it continues. We don't go to them and beg them to support the church. We don't force them that you got to come to church and give. We welcome them freely, don't we? You do as God leads. But whether you do it or not, God will continue His church. Amen? When we know what love truly is, we don't have to worry about being manipulated by false guilt and everybody else's form of righteousness and morality. We just simply follow God's given word and directive of what is true and what truly is love. Amen? There's no guilt in that as long as we are faithful to that. Knowing what true love is will help us to have good, godly, healthy relationships with others. Now, I'm not just talking about in the home, which needs to be the highest priority, but also your relationship with others. Teens, you will know what true love is, and you'll not bind yourself with someone that is lost, and you think that, well, love is going to conquer all of these problems that the adults and my parents are yelling about that I don't care about, but it's going to be fine, and then you get stuck into a bad marriage, a bad choice, a bad decision, and then all of a sudden you find out you're fighting over the most basic of things that you thought was already taken care of, and it was not, because you thought it was true love, but you didn't really know what true love is. Amen? Oh, all those wonderful, cutesy little things they did when we were going out. Now it just irritates you to death, and you want to grit your teeth and slap them. Are you with me? Yeah. And my wife, just ask her, of all those little cute things that just turn into a nightmare for her. It's true. But you know what? Love suffers long. It's so funny that they had done studies on people that were involved in multiple relationships, and then they talk about monogamous relationships, homes. In fact, they even pinpointed Christian homes. They had one partner, and that's it for life. And they found out that the Christian homes were more sexually satisfied than those that had multiple relationships. Do you know why? They never experienced God's love in those relationships. They never stayed long enough to experience the product, the produce, the fruit of love suffers long. You know, as we watch many that have been celebrating 25, 50, 60 years, and you think, wow, how did you do that? And many of them say, oh, we're not sure, because there's a few times we didn't, right? They have their ups and downs, right? But yet they endured through it all in order to know what love suffers long. But that brings reward, amen? It brings satisfaction. It brings fulfillment because you're sharing God's love, not a false, worldly love, amen? I want to ask you, as we have a moment to reflect on what love is, what love is not, and then we ask the questions. Am I loving? Am I being loved? We need to examine where we are in life, don't we? Maybe you're not being loved. Maybe you're locked into a relationship that, oh, it started all out pretty good, and now it's just crumbled. It's a defeating feeling, isn't it? It almost feels like everything's done and everything's over. But can I encourage you that there's hope? But it's not found in running away from the Lord. It's only found in coming to the Lord. Coming to Him with all your failures, all your mistakes, all of those sins that caused you to shake your head in shame. You bring them. You bring them to the Lord, and you're going to see what true love is. He can restore. Now, is He able to restore every relationship that we've had that was broken? We pray that He will. Sometimes the damage is so deep that it's not able. But you know what? God still loves you. He still loves you. He's still willing to love you right where you are. But some of you are planning for relationships. Make sure you move forward knowing that you're truly loved. Those that say that they will love you, they'll never ask you to compromise your convictions or your commitment or your faith to the Lord. Amen? True love will give anything and everything that they have to see you grow. That's true love. Are you being loved? The Lord loves you.